to Mark, and we're going to see if the PowerPoint likes us. Yes. Success. All right, so we've been through seeing others through our, on our 2010 Love Compels theme, we've seen seeing others through the eyes of Jesus, be reconcilers of people to Jesus, and then last week, when Steve was speaking about seeing others through the eyes of Christ and through the eyes of Jesus, he was talking about being ambassadors, and today we're going to build one more step on top of that, and we're going to talk about what it means to be prepared to follow, because it's one thing to, like, follow Jesus, but then there's a whole other thing actually doing the following. So what we're going to do is today that we're going to talk about fishing Jesus style, and we're going to be looking at Mark chapter 1. And before we read, Father, would you just be with us right now as we go through your scriptures? Father, would you breathe on this passage that we've read and that we've heard, and would your life just come afresh to it, Father? And would we just follow you the way that you were designed, the way that you designed us to follow, and the way that you showed us through so many examples in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we're going to be looking on the screen. It's going to be in the NIV version, but you can follow along with whatever you have. And we're going to start in verse 4. So it's talking about Jesus had gone up to, like, the Sea of Galilee, whole bunch of people. He's like, whoa, I'm going to have to, like, jump into the lake here. So he goes in the boat, and he gets Peter to, like, push him off, and he's preaching from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he, being Jesus, said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners and their friends to come in another boat and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Now, last week, Steve talked about, like, each of the disciples. Remember that? If you don't, you can watch it on, like, revivetv.tv. It was really good to see how different all of the disciples were. And Peter, as we learned, was the owner of a fishing company. And so when Mark 1 starts, these guys are just sitting there washing their nets, right? They're like, we're done for the day. It says, if you look back a couple verses, that they didn't catch anything. So it was a pretty bum day if you're a fisherman to not catch any fish, right? It's like no food for you that day. And so they're there, they're cleaning their nets, they're done. And then this guy that has all these people following him says, hey, go try this. And we're going to look at what that could have looked like in Peter's head and what that would have looked like in my head if I was Peter. Because Peter obviously didn't think the same way I did. But the first thing that we're going to look at is how Jesus asks us to follow him. And Jesus asks us to follow him, or from where we are. So if we look at verse 5, it was one day when Jesus was standing by the lake, basically that word, Gennesaret, is the Sea of Galilee, with people crowding around him and listening to the word of God. So that's the beginning of Mark 5. Now, Peter didn't have to go somewhere to follow Jesus, right? There were lots of people following Jesus, but Peter was just there. So Jesus is calling Peter from where he's at, right? And so many times we think, oh, if I can go to this place and find Jesus, and to use some of our ministry friends as an example, you know, I can go to IHOP and find Jesus. I can go down to Bill Johnson's church and find Jesus. But here, what God is saying is I can find you right where you're at. If you're doing your job, if you're cleaning fish guts off the nets from yesterday because you didn't get to do it today because you didn't catch any fish, I'm there for you. And we can start our relationship right from there. So Jesus is saying wherever you are, wherever you were yesterday, whatever your day was like, we can do this together. Jesus asks us to follow him by speaking to us. Now, Steve shared last week about how Jesus calls us by name. Right? And so this is kind of like one step further, because while Jesus was calling out the disciples, he was calling them by name, but Jesus made time for Peter, or still Simon at this point, right? So he stopped talking to all these people that were over here and talked to the guy that was scrubbing fish guts. And so no matter where we think we're at, Jesus is speaking to us. And so there's always, like, we're big fans of Mark Verkler and his teachings on learning to hear God's voice, because that's so essential to every part of our day-to-day life. And as we can see, by listening to what the Father says, we can be successful in business and catch so many fish that we have to have our friends come and help us, right? And we're going to look at what that looks like spiritually and also in the regular world. But that's one of the things that, you know, John Arnott was up here a few weeks ago talking about the business group that they've started. And they've put together a bunch of courses to kind of go through to teach you about your business and things like that. But what's the absolute number one, the first course that they're doing? How to Hear God's Voice with Mark Ferkler. And so it's one of those things. And Mark is just a tool. He has like a strategy to help you hear God's voice. We've got the books in the bookstore. But it's just showing the importance of hearing Jesus speaking to us, to hear him speaking to you. The next one, and this is kind of like the whole message is going to be this point here, but it's changing our strategy. You know, that's what we've been talking about all day is take all of me. And this is where Peter says, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I'll let down my net. Now, the Sea of Galilee, if I'm not mistaken, is like 5 miles across. So it's not like it's Lake Ontario or something like that, where it's this big mammoth lake. And there were tons of little fishing companies, little fishing boats. And I'm from Manitoba, so I know fishermen, right? Because in northern Manitoba, you do fly-in fishing. And everybody always has their sweet spot. You know, I bet that Peter had his sweet spot, where it's like every day he goes out to this one spot on the lake, you know, where the tree looks like it's on the left, and then there's that big rock that makes the funny waves on the right. And that's kind of his spot, where he goes every day and catches his fish. And this is Peter's livelihood. This is what he does. And then Jesus is like, why don't you go out into the deep and then cast your net on the other side of the boat? He's like, why would I do that? That's my spot. I know that spot. There was nothing out there. There's not going to be anything on the other side of the boat. That's what I'd be thinking, right? Because this is something that we do over and over again. But Jesus is asking us to change our strategy. And excuses are like pride. Peter could have had a whole bunch of excuses about why he didn't want to throw his net on the other side. I'm already cleaning the nets, Jesus. Don't you see that we worked hard all day and we just didn't catch anything and we're done? Jesus, this is my business. I've been successful for like 7 years. Really? Seriously? A new idea is going to help? You know, he could have built up all these things, but what it would have been was Peter's pride. And what that would have done is that would have kept him from discovering the greatness that God had in store for him. And I took a little note here on my phone while we were going through worship. And it was like when we were praying, take all of me, right? It was a singing and it was a declaration. But that's what this means. That means pushing past. As Sandra was saying, that means letting go of the ship and letting it sail where Jesus takes us. That's a new strategy. And, you know, the Bible is full of new strategies. And there was one in particular that really spoke to me today. And it's in Joshua chapter 6. Because the thing is we're not talking about fishing fish. Right, we're talking about reaching people. We're talking about love compelling us to share Jesus with people in our workplace, to share Jesus with people in our families. And so I want you to tell me if this story of Jericho reminds you of anyone you know. So we're looking at Joshua chapter 6, and it's called The Fall of Jericho. Now the gates of Jericho were tightly shut because the people were afraid of the Israelites. No one was allowed to go in or out. But the Lord said to Joshua, I have given you Jericho. To me, Jericho sounds like a person. You know, somebody that's so tightly guarded in their heart that they don't allow anybody in and they don't allow anything out. They don't share who they are with anybody. It's tough for them to make friends. They're very guarded. How many of you know somebody like that? Or maybe even are somebody like that? I was there. I know what that's like. You know, to be afraid of making friends because they'll move or because they might say something about you behind your back. You know, as people, we're so afraid of relationship. And when I saw this scripture of Jericho, I was just like, that's half the people I know that don't love Jesus. And these are the people that we're called to reach. And what does God do for the people of Israel? He gives them a new strategy, right? If they can't get into this city, they can knock on the door. Of course, it's not going to be opened. They can, like, try and ram the door down with a tree, That's not going to do them any good, because I'm sure they had big, strong doors. This city is tightly closed. Walk around the city and yell a couple. Walk around the city a couple times and yell, and that's going to bring the walls of the city down. And so it was just the people of Israel listening to this new idea, right? Following this fresh God-given strategy. And so that's one of the things that we're going to do today during ministry time, is we're going to be like, you know what? I know that we're all fishermen by being who we are. Right? Steve shared how we're ambassadors of Christ by being where we are. The lady that shared last week, for her, it's by bringing jelly beans and cookies to work. Right? God's given us all different kinds of strategies that is placed in our hearts, and we've tried some of them, and some of them we've created patterns out of, some of them we try out of the blue. But today, I just really feel that God's going to give us something fresh. You know, that fresh strategy to break down the walls of those around us that need to hear him and need to see him, because God is an innovator. And just in case you're like, well, you know, that was one Bible story. My favorite God innovation story is like Genesis chapter 2, verse 22. After he like made the world and he made man, in Genesis 2, 22, he made woman. And I'm like, that's a pretty good God innovation. You know, I was like, okay, God. I was just like kind of building it up here. But I was like, these are amazing things. He's created so much for us to enjoy and to take part in. And so just reach out for something different. You know, be confident in changing that strategy, because God's been changing strategy of his people since the beginning of time, and it always works out to being a good thing. All right, then be prepared for a crazy harvest. You know, Jesus isn't going to ask you to follow him if you're prepared for... Well, Jesus is going to ask you to be prepared to follow him for one or two fish, but he doesn't just have that in store for you. Right? So in this story, it's not like Peter went out and caught two fish. Did he? Peter didn't catch two fish. It's probably not even like he caught 50 fish. He probably caught like 300 fish. Right? Because if his foot was like a regular little fishing boat, 17 feet long, they bring in like the big net and they dump them in and they start to sink. Like there's probably four big dudes in the boat already. Right? So Peter doesn't sound like he's a little guy. So let's say Peter weighs like 220 pounds. And there's four guys in the boat, so you have almost 1,000 pounds of dude in the boat to start. And then you're adding fish, and the fish are what makes it sink? That's a lot of fish. And so what God is saying is he's saying, you know, I'm calling you, but we need to be prepared. Now, what are some ways that we can be prepared for a big harvest? Taking School of Champions. You know, learning what he has in store for us, equipping ourselves to know how to answer people's questions, learning more about him, abiding in his Holy Spirit. Being part of a cell group, having others around us that can fuel us in our faith, that can keep us accountable, that can walk with us. Having a cell, you know, becoming cell leaders, learning those leadership styles, because when all those fish come in, we're going to have to be prepared to help disciple them as well. And being connected to the body is another important one that's part of it as well, which is, you know, where the cell and everything comes in from also. But it's that connected to the bodiness that's important, that helps us be prepared. Because if we have a crazy harvest and we try to handle it on our own, what would have happened if it was just the one boat? 1,000 pounds of dude plus a few hundred pounds of fish, and it would have sunk, right? So they needed the other boat to come. So I feel that God's saying, you know, the way that we're modeling this with campuses and with cells and everything like that is being prepared for the big harvest. The next thing is... Wait, there's a B. Okay, so the A was being prepared for themselves, and then the B was being prepared by having friends and others connected, available to go forward with them. And then the fifth one is giving God the glory. So Jesus asks us to follow him by being prepared to give God the glory. Because how easy wouldn't it have been to be Peter and be like, oh yeah, I just threw them on the net on the other side of the boat, and oh my gosh, all these fish came. Right? That'd be so easy. It's so easy to take credit for something that we as people do. Right? That makes sense? Because we're the ones throwing the net on the other side of the boat. Jesus didn't get in the boat, or at least it doesn't say that he got in the boat. So it's not like people directly saw it. But by sharing that with others and that being part of our testimony, that helps point others to Jesus, opens a big door, because people are like, wow, what was that? And so in giving God the glory, we need to be prepared to be a sign and a wonder. And it talks about in verse 9, for he and all his companions, so Peter and all his friends, were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. Right? So it's a big deal to be a sign and a wonder. And I just feel that God is preparing our hearts. You know, he's preparing our hearts to be that sign and a wonder. And there's so many places that you, in your everyday life, in who we are as people, who we are as workers, who we are as bosses, who we are as friends, who we are as kids, as brothers and sisters of each other and of our families, can be a sign and a wonder. You know, we're contending for Linda's healing because we feel that that's going to be a sign and a wonder that God's going to use to just rock that hospital. Because there's videos that show that there's a hole in Linda's heart. There's physical documented proof. And there's going to be physical documented proof that there's no longer a hole in Linda's heart. Right? And so even though it seems like things suck, like, you know, a hole in your heart isn't the greatest thing in the world to have happen, but it can be the biggest miracle for God because it's documented, it's shown, you know? The fact that I can use myself as an example, I used to work in sales. I worked at, like, this store in Dufferin Mall, like, a couple years ago, and Dufferin Mall wasn't quite what it is now. Like, people actually go to Dufferin Mall. And it was like, so here I was at this store, and they're like, yeah, I expect to make, like, $1,000 of sales a month, and you'll be doing pretty good as a new person. I was like, okay, I'm going to shoot for 1500, right? Set the bar a little bit high. Well, my first month of sales, I did $7,300. That was, like, 7 times my projection. And so the only way to kind of quantify that was to be like, God helped me out. Because there's nobody that comes to Dufferin Mall and buys like a $10,000 trip to Mexico unless I'm sitting there. And it happened like more than once every other month. And so it's just like, you know, God can completely use you to be this example where you are with what you're given. Amen? So even though you're like the little boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish, and you're like, God, this is all I got. 5,000 people, bam. You know, and so God's totally set you up with whatever you have if you're prepared to follow. If we are prepared in our hearts to do what he's calling us to, that can bring us to that next level. Because you know what? That shift in strategy is throwing the net on the other side of the boat. People, we live our lives every day. I drive the same route to work every day. It's just how it goes. We're creatures of habit. If I go the other way, I think it takes longer, even if it's faster. But it's just what we do. And I just feel God is asking us, shift. You know, fish Jesus style. You know, fishing through the eyes of Jesus. That's what he's calling us to do today. So, I totally just lost my place. So we're going to have to go back a couple slides. Green. There we go. All right, so conclusion. What does fishing Jesus style look like? Jesus knows that you have a boat, okay? So that's what we're talking about with the creatures of habit. Peter had a boat. He might have even had 5 boats, but Peter went out with 1. Jesus knows exactly what we have, and he's willing to use it. Are you? You know, Jesus was standing there with a bunch of people, and he saw some boats. That's where this story started. And it ended up with like a huge amount of fish. And so with whatever you have, God can use for his glory and greatness. And the other conclusion is that he wants you to catch a lot of fish. You know, I was praying last week, we were praying in groups, and somebody was like, I haven't ever led anybody to the Lord before. But they're like, I'm waiting for that day. You know, and they're contending for that day because they know that God wants them to catch a lot of fish. And I'm like one of those 1 or 2 kind of guys where there's like a couple here and a couple there in a church context. But I know that God's given me a vision for this year that I'm going to be fishing outside of the pond or outside of the barrel, as it were. You know, I feel God calling me to like a little bit bigger lake with some things that he's having me do outside of the church that's going to impact my life because I'm going to be impacting others for the kingdom. And so that's just an encouragement for each one of you that, you know, fishing for souls isn't fishing in a barrel. It's not. It's just throwing it out there and watching what God's going to do. But you know what? Like the children of Joshua, it says in Romans 5:19, hopefully I'm right on that one, that the earth is waiting for the sons of God to be revealed for who they really are. Okay, so many times we say the earth is groaning and waiting for the sons of God to be revealed, which is like showing up, but that's not exactly what that verse is saying. If you read the last part of it, it's saying for who they really are. So that means that they already know that we're here. And unless we're opening our mouths and saying something, people don't know that we're here. Right? They can't know who we really are if they don't even know who we are. So I'm just saying, you know, this week, this month, this year, let's let people know who we are. Let's be like the people of Joshua that come up to a walled city and we walk around this person every day. So let's give a shout out and be like, hey, this is what's going on in my life. This is what Jesus is doing for me. And it's just that simple opportunity. All right. So let's all stand together. And we're going to ask Jesus some questions. Andrew, if you have someone that can do some strumming or some keys, that'd be cool. So Father, we're just coming before you today, just as who we are. We're fishermen with a boat. We're sitting there cleaning our nets. Because God, we've tried. You know, like Sandra was sharing, Father, we have tried to do things our way so many times. God, I know that my arms are even tired from holding on to my boat. And Father, today we declare that we just released it to you. Father, we want you to take all of us, take all of me, Papa, and everything that looks like. And so, Father, today we're going to ask, where do I see you in my life? You know, Peter saw Jesus standing at the side of the lake, talking to a bunch of people. And as we walk in this New Testament blessing of having the Holy Spirit with us every step of the way, ask yourself and ask Jesus honestly, where do you see Jesus? Because I know sometimes I feel like I don't see him unless I really quiet myself and look. So Father, where are you? What are you doing in my workplace? What are you doing in my school? What are you doing in the parking lot when somebody throws the door open and dings my door? Where are you, Daddy? Because every situation, folks, every situation is a chance to cast our nets on the other side. All right, Daddy, what does the other side of the boat look like for me? You know, Sandra shared this morning that for her, the other side of the boat looked like letting go of the boat. And for each one of us, it's going to be something different. But Daddy, what kind of a strategy shift are you asking me for today? What's my other side of the boat? Yeah, thank you, Holy Spirit. Okay, so now if you can grab the hand of the person beside you. This is how we like to do things here. Holy Spirit's in each one of us, so we minister to each other. Yeah. So, Father, would you just come for us right now? Thank you for calling us where we are. And right now, I want each person to pray for the person that's on their right. And I want you to bless where they are right now. Okay, so Father, I thank you for my friend that's on my right. And I ask that you would bless where they are in every circumstance of their day. Father, would you use them where they're at? In Jesus' name. If you're watching on the internet today, we're joining with you and we're contending with you. And we are blessing where you are called today. In Jesus' name. So just bless that person that's on your right.